Good morning again, and happy Father's Day. Today is Father's Day, which is celebrated throughout the world. It is our opportunity to recognize and honor not only our fathers, but also the fatherly influences in our lives. A day of celebration, reflection, gratitude, and even in some cases, grief or anger. A day often celebrated with a barbecue. When Reverend Mike asked me this week if I'd be able and willing to do today's talk, I said, sure, I'd love to. He gave me a suggestion. Maybe you could give a talk about your dad. How was your relationship with your dad? And I sort of mumbled a bit, and we moved on. We've all had issues of one type or another with our dads, right? They're not perfect. I've done my grief work, my counseling. I've ended up in AA and in Unity. So I can do this. I got this. An idea popped up into my head that I wanted to explore, but it seemed that I kept getting sidetracked. And I woke up the other morning dreaming of being lost in a parking lot that was just getting bigger and bigger and bigger, not able to find my car, and trying to get to a place where I could call my eldest brother for help to come and get me. Well, that has metaphysical written all over it. But I wanted to move on with my talk. Though I wanted to delve into my ideas, I found I needed to talk Dad first. A synopsis of my father. Bear with me a few minutes here. My father died of heart failure related to alcoholism when I was 25. My parents have been divorced since I was 16. I remember the arguments my parents had. They had argued since I was a child. I knew I was never afraid of my father unless he was drunk. Then I was worried about Mom. But I can remember sitting next to my dad on the couch when I was preschool. I have a picture somewhere. I remember sitting on the front stoop with my dad on a summer's evening. I don't remember anything he said, but just felt loved. I remember watching him finish our cement driveway and patio and learning how it was done, for that was his profession. He worked hard. He got up early in the morning, came home by dinner time when dinner was supposed to be on the table. He couldn't work in winters because of his bronchitis. I remember after the divorce, my dad called my mom once after I visited him. He asked my mom to check out if I was using drugs. He told her that I looked tired and not healthy. I thought it was silly, but at the same time, pleased that he cared. I remember he showed up at a dance competition I was in, but he wasn't dressed up, wasn't in a suit, and I was embarrassed. I felt guilty forever. I remember when one of my siblings called me at work to tell me her father had died. I hung up the phone then, and then I had to call back and ask them to repeat what was said. I remembered I hadn't told him I loved him before he died, and asked if he could be buried wearing my Maria ring on his pinky finger. He was. Well, so there. I remember just the other day thinking, are you nuts? What made you say yes to writing a talk for Father's Day? You, with all your not-so-positive experiences of having a dad involved in your life, a dad your siblings, three brothers, and a sister still have anger with. Father's Day, a day I have pretty much ignored since my father died, trying to treat it as just another normal day, as my friends and family were doing their Father's Day thing. And of course, as time goes by and life, therapy wants you to talk about feelings. And AA wants you to make amends. Unity talks forgiveness. The psychiatrist prescribed pills. And my journey evolves. The universe will do what the universe will do. And in the past few years, I've been facilitating grief classes, having been mentored by Clarice Schultz, facilitating that the loss, the person who died, our grief, they all get integrated into our lives, and they profoundly change how we live and experience the world. That we don't recover from grief, it is ongoing, and that loss, that person, most likely will visit you on Father's Day, but it's not as acute. There is hope that we can live with the loss, keep the love, and live our lives. So those of you that are feeling that loss today, please be kind to yourself and nurture yourself today as you reflect. So my ideas. In the past 24 years plus, I've been watching my three brothers parent. And I thought it ironic that my brothers each represented a different role type of father. And for the most part, was a nurturing father, unlike what their relationships were with dad. I luckily came across the wonderful images with quotes online while I searched Google on fatherhood. Where else would one learn about life? One of the quotes I came across is this one by Charles Keating. And it goes like this. Every father should remember one day his son will follow his example, not his advice. And thinking back to my brothers, I thought somehow they have been able to take the examples and turn it around for their children. Maybe in spite of. Now some might say, my mother should take credit for this. I know she put and continues to put her two cents in, but I do believe there was something of my father's inner qualities they could feel, even if there was not to see. In my lifetime, the role of father in today's world has changed, and fathers are so important and recognized to the development of a solid family foundation. Fathers have changed since the holiday was first celebrated in 1910. From my readings and experience, fatherhood in the early 20th century changed from dads simply being the disciplinarian and breadwinner to a more nurturing brand of parenting. Just wait until your father gets home. Though you may still occasionally also hear the 15th century proverb, children should be seen and not heard. Today's fathers are viewed in so many different lights simply because there are so many roles a father can play in today's modern family. He can be single or married. He can be externally employed or stay at home. Dan, gay or straight, an adoptive or step-parent. A century ago, you probably would have not have seen my grandfather braiding hair, painting fingernails, answering a toy telephone. But those things, be it braiding hair, taking the time to teach your son or daughter to change a tire, helping them with their homework, teaching them to throw a baseball or football, or anything along that sort, can make a tremendous difference in the life of a child. I did have two uncles who have passed away some time ago, who at every wedding, after a few drinks, would go around the tables carrying a little toy phone. They would have it ring, answer it, and pass it to someone saying at the table saying, it's for you. Maybe it's the Irish. Well, us kids thought it was great, but the adults mostly rolled their eyes. And though over time, and the examples change, I believe the stories, noting how children are spoiled, are still handed down generation by generation. Remember these? This is a favorite of my eldest brother. When I was your age, we had to walk 10 miles to school in the snow, uphill, both ways. I can still see his kid, Josh, and especially Natalie, roll their eyes. Or when I was your age, we had to get up to change the channel. Today, I can visualize someone saying, when I was your age, we had to get up, put on all our clothes, and go to the church inside, not just watching our PJs from our phones or computer. So, my brothers, I have, for the last number of years, been wishing Happy Father's Day. It is through them that I see positive images. Let me share with you some of what makes them special dads. Some of these things which I hope you will recognize, dads, in yourself. My oldest brother, Larry, is a welding supervisor who doesn't like rules. He's the one up in the air on the John Hancock building without all the safety equipment. And he will talk forever on buying American-made products. He is union proud, and I'm sure his kids will never tell him if they ever shop at Walmart. He is a married man. He married a woman with two children from a previous marriage. So he became a step-parent. And then, a short time after that, he adopted them. Became their adopted dad. He was involved with Boy Scouts, Josh, and Coach Natalie's softball games. Though that marriage ended, he is deeply involved with his children and his granddaughter, who he's most proud of. I love the post Josh put on Facebook some years ago that his dad, my brother, was more of a real dad than his original dad had been. Wow. My brother, that marriage ended. He has recently, well, within the last number of years, remarried, and now he has another family to add to his clan. My new sister-in-law is now, though, in stage 3 cancer. He is now the caretaker. Friday was her 3rd chemo treatment. I saw this post on Facebook on Friday from Danielle about my brother, his new stepdaughter. So I was feeling pretty down the last couple of days. It was really a mixture of a few different things. So I talked to Larry about him. He listened, talked, and I felt a little better. He had a picture of flowers there. Well, these flowers here are from him. They might not look like a lot or some expensive bouquet from the store. He shopped somewhere and picked them for me. It might not seem like a big deal, but when you grow up with a father that's never given you anything thoughtful in your life, it's a big deal. I'm very thankful to him for letting me experience what it's like to have a dad, not just a father. Love you. My middle brother, Tom, has always been the straight card in the family. Doesn't drink much, doesn't smoke, stayed out of trouble, and brought up 2 children in a traditional family. He is the preppy brother in sales management. Tom, who became a lawyer for 1 year and decided he didn't like the profession, became our family's go-to man for all things lawyery. But I just have to throw this in here. My brother Tom laughed and laughed at me when I had to sign a legal document that stated I was a spinster. Now, I may have healed some things, but I'm still holding that one out. You know, all brothers have their idiosyncrasies and are not perfect. Well, mine aren't perfect, but I love them dearly. Anyhow, Tom has always been there for his family. He still is, but a little bit limited now that he has Parkinson's. I was so impressed, though, when I stayed with Tom and his wife, Sandy, who just had their second child, Anna, some 24 years ago. Wow. I stayed for 2 weeks with them in Baltimore, Maryland, and my job was to play with Justin, who was 4, I believe. We built a lot of forts and watched a lot of videos. Tom went to work every day, and when he came home, he made dinner, washed baby bottles, made baby bottles, visited with Justin, the new baby Anna, and of course, mom, Sandy. I didn't know of any man who would take care of baby bottles and mom like this. I was just fascinated with that whole concept. Tom's daughter, Anna, had sent me, because I asked all the kids for a little blurb that I could use about their dads. So Anna sent me this morning. Good morning. My dad has already been my biggest fan and supporter. He taught me the value of hard work, but provided for me everything I could ever need. He taught me how to use humor to be able to make the best of all bad situations and make others smile. He sacrificed so much to give me an amazing life and opportunities, and never misses a chance to tell Justin and I how proud he is of us. But truthfully, we wouldn't have been successful without him showing us that he would support us in whatever he wanted to pursue. What a lovely Father's Day tribute. I have to tell you, my brother Tom is fond of telling stories and very dry jokes. Well, that came from Mom. Tom's jokes are like, did you hear about the kidnapping at school? It's fine, he woke up. Dun, 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 dun. And Anna, in honor of her dad, runs the Parkinson's parades and marathons every year. My little brother, Mike, who would be 59, died almost 4 years ago of cancer. He was a single dad, never married. He was also a substitute dad to my sister's 3 children. Mike was in construction, always staying in the shadow of Larry, who kept him out of trouble for the most part. And at the time of his death, he was a manager in a fencing company. Mike had raised his son, Mike, little Mikey, alone. His mom had left and disappeared. What stands out to me was my brother Mike was also a surrogate dad to my sister's 3 children. Though he is not the typical fatherly type, he is known for making sock soup for the kids when they were young, with real socks in it, and tried to get them to eat it. In particular, he was my niece's, Nikki's dad. Her dad and my sister had divorced, and her dad abandoned her. Long story short, it was Mike who was there for Nikki. I had asked Nikki for a comment, and this is her take. He had everything to do with being a dad, because I didn't have one. He was there for daddy-daughter dances. He was someone who gave a damn. He was there for every moment, who walked me down the aisle, who loved me unconditionally. A stepdad, an adopted dad, a single dad, a traditional dad, a substitute dad. Dad's by marriage an uncle. And in a way, I say my brothers have all had a dad touch on my life as the years have gone by. As father figures, they have all been loving, caring, responsive, and involved in their children's lives. Dads who have shown by example and given fatherly, and not given just fatherly advice, loving unconditionally. Dads who added joy to each of their children's lives. And though they did not have an instruction book or an experience of fatherhood, they loved all their children unconditionally. When I think about the Bible and what it has to say about dads, because of course I needed to check that, I think of the prodigal son, which Reverend Mike covered last week. I think of the commandments, honor thy father and mother, which I believe in on a practical level of respecting one's father and one's mother. I think of Jesus stating our greatest commandment, love one another. Love, which is so important to all and to the health and well-being of our children, to be loved, to feel loved, to see love demonstrated. I like this verse from 1 Peter 4, verse 8. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Is that not the truth? Because fatherhood, as everything else, is a learning experience. Simply, I see fatherhood's foremost job is to love his children through thought, word, and deed. Maya Angelou stated, do the best until you know better. Then, when you know better, do better. To keep it simple, one of our wise mentors, who's no longer with us, Juanita Nord, used to say, do the best you can the rest. Remember that? But I had one other idea. In honoring each of our own father figures and mentors today, I would also like to include the men that we have in our congregation. I have heard a few times shared in prayer how someone in our congregation is like a dad to them. I have heard of our men supporting other men going through grief, helping with pain, delivering items, being a friend. Men who lend their fatherliness to our church picnics to help take care of our grass, the parking lot, fixing the kitchen. Men who can be counted on. These men have made an impact not only on those whose family they touch, but also here in the church, where we not only come to honor the presence of God the Father in our lives, but where we come for community, where we come to heal, where we come to renew ourselves, our thinking, our beliefs, and our lives, where we learn responsibility with joy. And for that, I say, and ask you to say along with me, thank you, thank you, thank you. Let us remember that dads are most ordinary men turned by love into heroes, adventurers, storytellers, and singer of songs. Let's give all the dads in our lives our unity blessing. Say with me, we love you, we bless you, we behold the Christ in you, and know you are empowered to do great things. And so it is. Amen.